the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, the Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. For this evening's service, I will read from the wisdom of Solomon found in the Apocrypha books, 5th chapter, verses 1 through 6. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. Then the righteous man will stand with great confidence in the presence of those who have afflicted him and those who made light of his labors. When they see him, they will be shaken with dreadful fear, and they will be amazed at his unexpected salvation. They will speak to one another in repentance, and in anguish of spirit they will groan and say, "This is the man whom we once held in derision and made a byword of reproach, we fools. We thought that his life was madness and that his end was without honor. Why has he been numbered among the sons of God, and why is his lot among the saints? So it was we who strayed from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness did not shine on us, and the sun did not rise upon us." Amen. This morning, when I was walking in the area where we have the food serving, then a person who was familiar to me, a boy by the name of Janne, in his teenage, he came to me and said to me, "Eino, Godspeed." It felt very nice, very good. And I would say to you, dear boys and girls, greet older people when you see them, and when they come to visit your family. It is particularly nice and good, and health and a healthy way of behaving. I can see that there already is a lot of children at these services. It is a particularly wonderful thing that you mothers and fathers have been able to bring your children to these services. I can remember when I was 13 years old, when I was able to come the first time to these Suvi services. And those Suvi services were in Ylivieska. It is also in my mind for this reason, that my father, who was a veteran of the wars, and he had just recently received his driver's license. He had lost one eye in the war. We were not afraid that we would not make it to the services intact. There was one place where we crossed a railway track, and it was a new experience. Our father said that go ahead and make sure that no train is coming. And when we saw that there was no train coming, we indicated to our Father that it was safe to come. Of those services that summer, two things remained in my mind. It was very hot. The temperatures were rather high. And another thing, which was particularly impressive to a young boy, and that was that so many people gave thanks to the Lord in a loud voice. I did not understand it at the time, and what was the meaning of this. But I followed closely one person who was close by, who was giving thanks. And I had this feeling that that person was experiencing, that he was feeling very well. Later, I have come to understand what it means. And dear young people of this time, the world makes fun of the believers for this reason, but this giving thanks to the Lord out loud is nothing more than that these people have in their heart such a great desire to thank the Lord that they are not able to withhold this emotion that they have inside them, that it spills forth as thanks out loud. As it says in the Bible, that their cup floweth over. Then sometimes talking with people, the topic has come up, why has there been so little giving thanks to the Lord out loud in the recent days? Has faith life changed? It is not because of this, dear brothers and sisters. In the old days, there were services much less frequently, and the desire to hear the Word of God was much greater. Today, we can almost go to services as often as we wish. And then there's also this, that the pressures of the period that we live in today are different. As I am sure, dear ones, you have heard and seen. But thankfully, this issue is not a prerequisite for our faith, as John has written of this when he wrote to the speakers of his time. He wrote to that angel of Laodicea that if you would be cold or hot, but that you are lukewarm, that I will spill you out of my congregation. This in Finnish is will vomit you from my mouth, but it simply means that this person needs to make repentance, and that if he does not correct his matters, then it will soon happen that the living faith will die from his heart. And this lukewarm condition of the heart, this attitude of being carefree, that this matter of faith is not so important. This is a dangerous position for any one of us. Dear brother Toivo Leppänen, said in his time that we should, a speaker should stay in his text. And I remember this, and I want to return to the text. This text tells us of this time and this matter, which is still ahead of us. This is marvelous in this respect, God's Word and the Bible, that it is able to tell us of things as if they had already happened, but which are still far ahead for us. There are many examples in the Bible of this sort of thing. And close to this text, is one portion in the Bible where Jesus was speaking of the rich man and of Lazarus. This is a similar text with that. And for this reason, this is a good thing for us to look at tonight, that we would be comforted in the Word of God in this respect. That these trials and tribulations that we experience in our everyday life, these are not eternal. And that we endeavor here in the midst of this world to carry a clean conscience, that it will one day have a happy ending. This is encouraging us, and it is written for that purpose here, that we would remember, especially then when the journey seems difficult. And in this text, we are looking at the situation with believers and unbelievers and how they behave in that situation when time ends and people are before the face of God on the last day of judgment, answering for their own lives. And this tells us, this text tells us of that situation, how a righteous person and how an unbeliever experience this situation. And in the beginning, it here speaks of the a believer, and it says, then the righteous man will stand with great confidence. Think, dear friend, are you in the midst of everyday life? Are you clothed with great confidence? When we think of these last days, you, dear travel companion, who have gone to the workplace or have gone to school to study or have gone to teach at school or gone to the teacher's staff room, have you had great confidence? When you have read from the newspapers and the media what is written there about us believers, but as this text brought forth, then the righteous man will stand with great confidence in the presence of those who have afflicted him and those who made light of his labors. Has there been a shortage of these people who have afflicted believers? And what are the works, what are his labors that are spoken of here? The disciples asked Jesus once, what labors or what works should we do that we would do the work of God? Jesus said, it is the work of God that you believe upon him who he sent. In other words, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus. And this is that work of God which is important for us. And that this faith would be preserved, it means, as the scriptures say, that every day we need to take our cross and follow the Lord Jesus. And this road of the follower of Jesus, as you, dear friends, each of you know on your own part, it is not always an easy road. It means that we have to withstand the pressures of the world, and we have to refrain from many things. But we do not need to be in tribulation. We do not need to be in anguish for this, because the Lord Jesus says, I have won over the world. Then we look at the portion of the unbeliever. And it says in the second verse, when they see him, they will be shaken with dreadful fear, and they will be amazed at his unexpected salvation. The unbelievers do not understand that this kingdom of God, which today is known as the old Lestadian group, that it will one day be that group which will be in the throng of those that are giving thanks, beginning that hymn which has a beginning but no end. This old-fashioned Lestadianism . It has been in the media very much in the last days. And many people think that this Lestadianism, that it was invented by Lars Levi Lestadius, that he had started this doctrine. But we all know here that even though our brother Lestadius was a wise man and a researcher, but he was not that smart that he would have begun a faith such as this and would have put it to going. Lestadius was simply a weapon of the Lord. He believed in the same manner as Martin Luther and in the same manner as the Old Testament prophets and the apostles. But the people of the world take care of this politics of giving names. We remember how in the time of the apostles they began to name them Christians. Which name today is accepted as about 80% of the Finns today accept themselves as being Christians. But we understand that this does not mean the Christianity of the heart. Then it says here in the next verse, then they will speak to one another in repentance and in anguish of spirit. This is the man whom we held in derision and made a byword of his reproach, we fools. How many times have we heard from the world that people cannot believe so narrow-mindedly? It cannot be such a small group, these Lestadians, which would be that group, which would be in the correct faith and would own that correct faith. and which would be the true kingdom of God on earth. The scriptures tell us that a person with their natural wisdom does not understand these things. As we have heard already today many times of the kingdom of God, when people ask Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Then Jesus said, it will not come in such a way that it could be seen, but that the kingdom of God is in your midst. The new translation says, it is internally within you. But this gives a completely wrong understanding. The old translation, it is in your midst, gives the correct meaning. There were people in time of Jesus who had made repentance, and they formed the kingdom of God in the time of Jesus. And it is a completely different thing to say that it is within you when the person who was listening to this was a Pharisee. And then it says here, we thought that his life was madness and that his end was without honor. But he is numbered among the sons of God, and why is his lot among the saints? And these people's eyes are open, but they are open too late. If there would be such a person, a friend here, who has at some point been a believer but has ended up in the world, and you are now listening, dear friend, surely you do not want to be in that group. You do not need to be in that group. The heart of the Heavenly Father is full of love toward you. You have permission and the right to accept this complete righteousness to your own salvation today. You do not need to receive eternal damnation to your soul. So it was we who strayed from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness did not shine on us, and the sun did not rise upon us. Many people in the world do many, many good works, but care for their own soul salvation has become a secondary matter. In many other things they spend much time, but not in considering what should happen to their soul. This life of a person is at its longest. It is as the width of a palm when compared to eternity. And dear loved ones, we are small matters here in this world. When time has left us and we have passed on, it doesn't take many years when no one will remember us any longer. And there might be a gravestone somewhere, and there might be a name on that gravestone that once this man lived on the face of this earth. It is, dear loved ones, a precious matter that these matters of eternal life are taken care of, and that our name is written in the book of the righteous, so that when it is time to leave this life, that our soul will be preserved and saved. as we have read this text portion, speaks of this in such a powerful way, what that true situation one day will be. We would thankfully push these matters aside till tomorrow, that I am a young person today or a middle-aged person today. I will have time when I am in my old age to think about these things, when all other matters have become less important. Then in my old age I'll take care of the matters of my soul. But dear loved ones, these matters are not in our hands. First of all, we do not know when our time to leave comes. It can come even to a young person unexpectedly. And what great accident takes place if the matters of the soul have not been taken care of. It will happen, as was said here in the text, that the unbelieving people in dreadful fear will be amazed at who was saved. That the believers have their names in the book of the righteous. These others have spent their life in all other things, and the sun did not rise upon us, and we strayed from the way of truth, and we did not know the road of the Lord. This is a grave thing to talk about. For every person who hears this spoken word, it is important to take care of these matters in time. Once time ends, these things cannot be corrected. If you are an unbelieving friend and are listening to this, if this does not open up to you now, but remember nevertheless that here on the face of this earth is the kingdom of God, where because of the command of God we have the forgiveness of sins, and the forgiveness of sins, the sins are forgiven in heaven. And when you believe your sins forgiven and your unbelieving life, you are suddenly a child of God, and then you will have the peace of God on your conscience, and then you will no longer need to be afraid that will I see the tomorrow. It is so comforting and so comfortable, the life of a child of God, because they have their sins forgiven and peace with God. Then it is easy to go to sleep at night, and sleep comes easily. And to this journey of faith, we is also an important part of it is taking care of our conscience, and we need to strive. And as the Bible says of this believer, that it should be as an open book which can be read by all people. Is this sort of person whose conscience is not taken care of, is it an open book for all people to read? Dear listeners, this is not the way it is. And the Bible tells us in another part, in a different way, that we are children of light. As if we dwell in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I do not know if any of you have tried to take care of your conscience sort of halfway, when it has seemed like there are some things that need to be taken care of. Then you have tried to to believe your sins forgiven from the general sermon, but you have sins on your conscience. Have you noticed, dear friend, that peace does not come to your conscience? For this reason, it is important to take these name sins and put them away by name. And then we can notice how these matters are then forgotten and we are separated from them. Sin is that sort of thing that it does not leave us by trying to forget it. It needs to be put away as it has come. And when we receive the strength from God to do this, isn't it a marvelous matter to experience this, that I have the peace of God on my and my own conscience is free? And sometimes on the pillow, it might say that the best pillow under your head is a clean conscience. I have myself experienced this. When my own conscience has been troubled, that I have not even been able to read the evening prayer, had not even had the confidence to do that. For this reason, it is so important that we would endeavor to be open books for all people to read. And it can be seen from believers, from outwardly, a person like this is joyful, and a person like this is not cynical. And things don't go according to the way they should go. A bad conscience affects our lives so completely. We have difficulty concentrating on things, and we have a bad feeling. But when we ask the Heavenly Father that He would help us put our matters away, then when this happens, it affects us completely. It affects our home lives. It is not easy, even at home, when the conscience is burdened. Then a person like that is quick to anger and says many things that he regrets. And the dear ones at home, they sense this situation, and they notice that matters are not well, and they come and ask, what is bothering you, when it seems that nothing is well? And it is a wonderful grace gift for us that in a believing home we have these open fountains to whom we can tell the things on our heart, and we can go to make repentance. There is no better place to grow up than a Christian home for the young people. It is important for us that we always use the gospel at home. We speak of the matters of faith, and we ask, what is on your heart, that what is new with you? How have you been able to get along? How has today gone at school? How has today gone at work? It is important that we notice one another. As in one verse it says, selfishness and hurry makes us blind, that we do not notice our friends and their needs. And how can this happen? that we do not notice that that other dear person, that he has a bad feeling, that we would be able to help him out and to speak with him, that he could open up and be freed from these bounds to freedom. In this way, brothers and sisters, even yet this evening, it is comforting to live in the kingdom of God. And even though the cold winds blow from the world, we do not need to fear. In this kingdom, the Lord Jesus has promised to be with us to the end of the world. So we will manage. Such a day will not come that here in the midst of the world we would not remain as children of God, as long as we take care of our own conscience, so that sin, which separates us from God, that it would not take our hearts. This is an important matter. And foremost importance is to watch. And as this portion that we read in the beginning, then the righteous man will stand with great confidence. This is because then the judge will be that same Jesus Christ in whose footsteps you have endeavored to travel in this world of people. Many times the journey has been difficult, but over and over again we have been able to take comfort in the grace of God and to stand and continue the journey. And one day this faith will become seeing. In this way, it is comforting to believe. And yet this evening we can remain believing with comforted hearts, owning this great gift of God. And we can remain believing at this moment all things that are affecting our hearts. You can believe all sins forgiven from the heart of the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name and blood. Believe all sins forgiven. The power of grace will carry us to the heavenly shore. And yet I would ask, can I remain believing all my sins forgiven? I wish to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.